Ephesians chapter 6. We're at verse 17. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we've had tonight as we shared different things going on in our lives and the blessings and the testimonies time. And we're looking now in your Word, and Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for the very Word of God that we have. Father, we need it so desperately, and I pray, Father, that we would be faithful studiers of your word. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we did the first part of that, the helmet of salvation, but now we're going to look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, our only defensive weapon, our only defensive weapon that we have. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The word Word is the word Rhema, and does not refer to the whole Word of God, but to individual Scripture, which the Spirit brings to our remembrance for use in time of need. The sword of the Spirit, as the sword was the soldier's only weapon, so God's Word is the only needed weapon, infinitely more powerful than any of Satan's. We have what we need. We just have to know how to use it. This word, sword, is the word machira, and it means a short sword or dagger. It's a small weapon. It is used both defensively to defend off Satan's attack and offensively to help destroy the enemy's strategies. It is the truth of Scripture. Always, always, always you can fall back on Scripture. What did Jesus use against Satan when he was in the desert? The Word of God. He just quoted Scripture to him. We need to know what the Word of God says so that when Satan's attacking us, we can quote Scripture. Of the Spirit, referring to the nature of the sword rather than its source, from the context we know that it is a spiritual weapon to be used in our struggle against spiritual enemies. As the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit is the believer's resident truth teacher who teaches us all things and brings God's Word to our remembrance. I've said many times, you have to know what the Word of God says, right? We're supposed to hide it in our heart. And then if we have memorized it, and for some of us, it's easier than others, right? As we get older, it seems harder to remember anything, let alone memorize new stuff. But as we memorize it and all, when we need it, the Holy Spirit brings it to remembrance. But if it's not there to begin with, it's hard to bring it to remembrance. So we need to be studying. We need to be learning so that we can have that when we need it. Turn over to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 17, and then we'll drop down to 26 after that. So John 14:17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And then drop to verse 26 of that same chapter. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Again, it has to be there for him to bring it to remembrance. The sword of the Spirit is, first of all, a defensive weapon and is capable of deflecting the blows of an opponent. It is the believer's supreme weapon of defense against the onslaughts of Satan. Unlike the shield, however, which gives broad and general protection, the sword can deflect an attack only if it is handled precisely and skillfully. We got to make sure that we know what the Word of God says, so when we're quoting it, we're not misquoting it. And then it must deflect the enemy's weapon exactly where the thrust is made. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, his defense for each temptation was a passage of Scripture that precisely contradicted the devil's word. Look at Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at three of these verses. Matthew 4, verse 4. It says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then verse 7, Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And verse 10, Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The Christian who does not know God's word well cannot use it well. We have to know what it says. I'm always thankful when people say, "Well, that's not what the Word of God says." It's because they've studied and they know what it says. So when they hear it quoted differently, they automatically know. I always know when it's not the King James. It just gets to me when I hear people misquote stuff and all, and I'm like, "That's not what that says." People say, "Well, it says the same thing." No, again, things that are different cannot be the same. It doesn't say the same thing. And you can have that conversation all you want, but things that are different cannot be the same. And so people need to understand. Satan will invariably find out where we are ignorant or confused and attack us there. Christians who rely simply on their experience of salvation and their feelings to get them through are vulnerable to every sort of spiritual danger. They get into countless compromising situations and fall prey to innumerable false ideas and practices simply because they are ignorant of the specific teachings of Scripture. The other thing that we find, too, is people will take Scripture out of context. You take it out of you can take it out of context and make it say anything you want it to say. The problem is it needs to be put back in context so it says what it actually says. And so too many times that happens. The helmet covers the head. This is just saying that our mind is stayed on the fact that we are saved. A mind stayed on the Lord will not be swayed with false religion made attractive to the mind of man. Our weapon is the Word of God. And it's true. There's a lot of false religion out there that sounds very attractive. The only problem is it's false religion. It doesn't save anyone. It doesn't do anyone any good. Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is made clear to our understanding by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, it sets us on fire to carry the true Word of God to all who will receive it. The two most powerful things in the world today are the spoken and written Word of God. Win battles for God with the Word of God. I always like when the Mormons used to come to the doorstep. And I always met them on the doorstep. Don't want them bringing their garbage in my house, but I don't mind meeting them on the doorstep and talking to them. And every time they'd say something, I'd say, "Well, the Word of God says..." And I'd tell them what the Word of God says. And pretty soon they got to where, you know, they just didn't have time for anything anymore. They had to get going. Well, I said, "It's funny how when you show up, you want to mow the lawn and wash the windows and do the dishes and you want to do all this stuff, but as soon as I confront you with the Word of God, you can't stay around." And now they just don't come around at all. I think I got the plague or something, I don't know. But they won't come to my house anymore. And it's funny to watch them, because I'll go to the neighbors on either side of me. They won't even walk down my sidewalk. They cross the street, walk across, and then come back across to the next house. It's amazing. I'm like, All I gave them was the Word of God. They just don't like the Word of God. The truly surrendered life is the life committed to aggressive, confrontive, and unreserved obedience to all of God's commands. The Word of God is so powerful it transforms men from the realm of falsehood to that of truth, from the realm of darkness to that of light, and from the realm of sin and death to that of righteousness and life. The Word of God will change hearts. It will change lives. But we need to know what it says. We need to be sharing it. It changes sadness into joy, despair into hope, stagnation into growth, childishness, into maturity, and failure into success. No believer has an excuse for not knowing and understanding God's Word. Every believer has God's own Holy Spirit within him as his own divine teacher and revealing God's divine Word. I liked when a preacher down in Texas several years back said, if you don't understand the King James Version of the Bible, it helps to know the author. Helps immensely to know the author. You have to have the Holy Spirit to help discern it. So it helps to know the author, and it's true. So people who say, well, I just can't understand that. Well, you need to know the author. Our only task is to submit to his instruction by studying the Word with sincerity and commitment. We cannot plead ignorance or inability, only disinterest and neglect. God's given us his Word. I've said many times, in the United States of America, you can pick up the Word of God just about anywhere. Most people, I don't care if you're probably at the age of 5 on up, have what they call smartphones nowadays. I'm not sure why they got the title smartphone. I don't think they're all that smart. But I'm seeing kids in stores and running around with smartphones and stuff. You have the Word of God available on your phone. Now, I do have to say, and it's been told over and over and over, and it's been proven that if you read it on an electronic device, it's not the same as reading the written Word of God in book form. For some reason, it doesn't stick with people as if they actually carry the book, open the book, read the book, as it does in the electronic form. I don't know if it's maybe all that garbage that's on there too or what, but it just doesn't seem to hold fast with people when they're reading it on electronics. I don't know. I don't read it on electronics. I always read it from the actual Word. It's where I want to get it. And God's made it easy for us to have it. As I've said many times, you know, the dollar store used to have it for a dollar. You could get it in paperback form. It wouldn't last long, obviously, but you could still get it. And so, in fact, had the one gal who came and she donated stuff, and she does every time this time of year. And we'll have the remainder of it on Sunday night when we gather. There's some goodies down there from them. But she said, I still have that Bible you gave me. It's just a gift and award Bible. It's not anything spectacular, but she still has it. I believe everybody should have it. I mean, we had the one guy that came in his wheelchair. I gave him one. And then he took one of the pew Bibles on top of it. But I was like, no, those are not for you. And then I asked him about them, and he gave both of them away. I don't give them to you to give away. I give them to you for you to read them. If you need more, I have more, but they have to come and see me, and then I will give them to them. I do appreciate it if they'd come to a service at least. And then I'm more than happy to give them the Word of God. We need to. We need to give it out. People say, you buy those and give them? Yes. They're not that expensive. I used to get them for $5 a piece. They're not horrendous amount of money. And then you give them out so that people can have them. But anyway, we are